welcome to the Hear It podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Roberts, and each week we're going to be speaking to different guests about their take on how to engage a youth audience. I really hope you like it. Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Hear It podcast. Now we're moving on to talk about working with and creating with young people, and it's a topic which I think kind of runs through all the different things we've covered so far. And I've got three really great guests who are kind of coming at this from a really different perspective. So first up we've got Harry Beard, and he's co-founder of Future Labs and also Prospect 100. Here's what he had to say. So hi, Harry. Thanks ever so much for coming on to the Hear It podcast today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what Future Labs and Prospect 100 is all about.
Yeah, so I'm 21 years old and from North Bedfordshire. And I started this company called Future Labs with a guy called Adam Flanagan, who was from Belfast. And to cut a really long story short, when I was at school, I used to manage a lot of social media accounts for usually SMEs, you know, the type of companies that would be restaurants or small shops who had two or three members of staff and didn't have enough time to really focus on social media full time. So when I was at school, I would just reach out to those businesses and try to help them with their social media. And I met this guy called Adam, as I mentioned, in Belfast. And Adam's got an amazing story. When he was about 13, he was invited to the Web Summit, that's the name of it. And it's obviously one of the biggest, if not the biggest tech conference in the world. And he went along to the summit, being from Northern Ireland, I think the founder's from Northern Ireland as well, on a like kind of promising teen in tech pass. And he felt that no one was really paying attention to him. You know, he's this 13-year-old who loves technology, who sat in his bedroom coding, learning to code, building little apps. And he was building these things from his bedroom. And he really felt that he could go to this event, contribute and talk to people and have something to say and people would listen. And I think when he got there, he came to this kind of rude awakening that actually no one really wanted to listen to him. He'd been given this, I think, like kind of exclusive pass because of his age and shown promise in tech, but no one really gave him any attention. So he started his own tech event, a series of hackathons. At 13, I think he hosted his first event maybe just before his 40th birthday, and he managed to secure sponsorship from companies like Unilever, from BT, Twitter, you know, all the biggest tech companies were supporting him. And over the period of the next three or so years, he built up these hackathons to become like the big, I want to say the biggest youth hackathons in Europe. And he invited me to go and speak because of the stuff I'd been doing with social media. And we were discussing on Facebook after the event, you know, one of the things that was really interesting for him was businesses really liked him because he was able to engage young people in a way that few others were. You know, he was able to get them to come to an in-person event when everyone's talking about, you know, how can we get young people to engage with us online, let alone in person. And a lot of brands saw this as a great opportunity to recruit because, again, his diversity stats, you know, even when he was 13 years old, he was always considering how can we get participation, not just from all my friends who are going to be 13-year-old boys, but actually people from different genders or different locations or different ethnic backgrounds. And so his events brought about a really great group of diverse but talented teenagers. And there's examples of Google sending kids on accelerator schemes that they picked up on from his events. And one of the groups that were at his event ended up becoming named as like Northern Ireland's number one tech startup, CropSafe. And, you know, he had this amazing ability, in short, to bring young people into one room. And companies were really wanting to work with me because I had an ability to speak on their behalf for social media. So we decided to start a company which effectively helped businesses engage with the younger generation. We felt that, you know, a lot of businesses might be interested in that. And we, mainly through consultancy or through some small insight reports, were helping a number of different brands. But particularly at the beginning of Corona, this has shifted a little bit. And so we started working with a third chap called Alexandre Deonce, who I actually met, ironically, at the exact same time as I met Adam, both through Facebook. And, you know, I never met Alex in person until last year. And I really said to him, so Alex, for a bit of context, is 23 from Paris. And he was the youngest designer ever featured in Vogue. He is one of the most prominent fashion designers in the world for his brand NASA Seasons. And I really wanted him to come in because he was an expert at making brands cool. You know, he was able to take quotes and phrases and graphics and turn it into a really successful clothing brand stocked at 70 of the world's leading stores, you know, for English listeners, Harrods, Selfridges, Harvey Nichols would be the ones that we would know. And, you know, so we really wanted to work with Alex on this project, which we had in mind, and we developed with Alex, called Prospect 100. And so what this is a series of competitions that really helps to just inspire young people to take their passions to the next level. So these competitions occur across fields like music and design, all the way through to innovation, which is our way of saying technology, and even photography. And we've been able to have amazing judging panels. So for technology, the head judge was Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple. For music, we had Ronnie Wood from the Rolling Stones. And for design, people like Sarah Andelman, the founder of Colette, which is obviously one of the most iconic stores in the world. And she is dubbed as the kind of godmother of fashion retail. So to have these real industry titans, you know, particularly with tech, I can't think of anyone I'd almost rather have than was. You know, he's such an icon. To have all these people support the initiative, we've been able to drive hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people to our Instagram pages, our website, and to our initiatives. We had 300,000 young people visit our Instagram in 3 days with our most recent design competition. And so, yeah, we've really been focusing on that and helping young people, I guess, just keep pursuing their passion in this time and hopefully connecting them more with job opportunities and internships, as well as mentorships. So we really tried to create a buzz with these competitions and to help other people our age just keep positive and keep pursuing their passions during this time of COVID.
You're coming at this from the perspective of peer-to-peer engagement, and you kind of get what would make an event fantastic. Adam's understood why he felt excluded from the event he went to, and you can understand how to, you know, make things relevant to your audience. Like, I guess one of the biggest questions, you know, where do organisations get it wrong when wanting to engage in people, either as customers or, you know, working with them to inform their sort of marketing strategies?
Yeah, I think there definitely has to be a desirability around your brand. You know, the word cool, I think we almost underestimate how important being cool is. You know, the reason so many platforms take off is because they were just cooler than their competitors. You know, Facebook didn't invent social media. You know, looking at Prospect 100 and the kind of the results we've been able to achieve through that, what are the key reasons? You know, we've really focused on our brand. You know, we're not just doing a random music competition. We had a brand name, Prospect 100. We were to list the top 100 participants. So, you know, I think a lot of brands would be scared by listing, you know, your top 5 or your top 10 or whatever it might be, because that insinuates that there are losers within the competition. But actually, from what we've noticed, particularly the music competition, is that was one of our biggest fears, was when we revealed the top 100 or the top 20, that we would have loads of kids unfollowing us. What we saw off the back of that was so many young people were messaging us saying, thanks for the opportunity. That was the first message. I can't wait to apply next year. And we started seeing young people commenting underneath our photograph, you know, being able to connect so many young people with one another. So even though they weren't labeled as winners and they weren't, you know, they didn't get the main prizes or anything, they were able to discover one another and they turned themselves into their own winners. They've been able to use this as an opportunity. And so I really think that first things first, having a strong brand identity that stands for something. And even for us, that air of exclusivity makes winning our competitions more desirable. And thus, you know, people get more excited when they win and they share it amongst their friends way more. And that's way cooler for someone than just winning a competition where everyone wins. Just really focus on, how can I make my brand as cool or as possible to young people? Is that through exclusivity? I think that's definitely one way of making something quite cool. Is it through amazing prizes? That's what we really focus on with the mentorships. Or for us, having an amazing judging panel is so important.
What would you say are the most important things, like, to help organisations better understand their, you know, youth target audience?
It's impossible for someone like myself, particularly taking me as an example. I grew up in rural England. I do not know what the perspective is of someone from the LGBT community. I do not know what life is like really from the eyes of someone from a city. I do not really understand life truly from someone of a different racial background to me. You know, there's so many variants. And so even if you are a young person, you can't just assume you know everything about every young person. That's wrong. And so I guess for me, one of the key things is to immerse yourself in the subculture you're trying to target, really. So like, let's take social media, for example. If you're really trying to dominate on social media, then go and look at the key sources young people are watching and reading that are to do with social media. You know, if you want to dominate social media and you're not watching Drama Alert, for example, which is effectively the YouTuber news talk show almost, you know, where they always just talk about the latest gossip and the latest trends going on with YouTube. If you're not watching that and your aim is to dominate with young people on social media, I don't understand how you can expect to know about social media, because those are the people who are the experts. They are the voices of the subculture that you're trying to target. You need to know who those people are. Just watching those and put it into your routine is going to help you start to understand, right, what are the key trends that are going on right now? What are the key problems young people are speaking about? Who are the key figures? You know, again, when you look at a field like design, which is one of our main competitions, we could have a load of judges who were the creative director of the biggest brands in the world 40, 50 years ago or whatever, but they're almost less relevant with young people today as someone who's never had a day working for a major brand at all, but has a huge social media following, someone like Lucas Sabat. Lucas Sabat's never worked for Christian Dior or someone like that, but for young people, he's the voice of fashion. If you just presume you know about fashion, you're not willing to go to these sources to actually understand, right, who are the key players? Let me go and follow them on Twitter. Let me go and follow them on Instagram and just hear what they're saying. Go and find the three or four key sources and people and follow them on all social medias, and you'll literally be taking in all the information day to day. Any opportunities you actually get to work with young people from those subsections is even better, obviously. We're super blessed to have Alex on the team because he knows exactly what young aspiring people in the world of fashion are thinking and doing and saying, and where their attention is, because he is that person. You know, for brands to integrate someone like Alex, you know, there are loads of kids out there almost in every single school in the country. Go and speak to them, send out surveys, find out who they are, and you know, have a Zoom call with them. It's not tricky to bring them into your system. You know, I think it's almost impossible to expect to engage with young people who are not willing to talk to them, and you know, talk with them in an organic way. There's so many focus groups that I've been a part of where, you know, you go and sit in a room with 15 other people and there's always generally a narrative that's kind of pushed your way. Let's try and engage with young people as much as possible. Go to schools, universities, youth groups. There's so many organizations out there. I mean, spend literally 30 seconds typing in a key subculture into Instagram and you will find a random 16-year-old that's running an Instagram page, which has like 2,000, 3,000 followers, hyper-engaged, that will be talking about the topic you're interested in. So just take a few minutes to go onto Instagram, go onto Twitter, wherever you want to go, and just type in the kind of subcultures you're looking to find. You'll find key pages of influence, DM them, they'll respond, ask to get on a call with them, and really understand where they're going to find content. And you'll know exactly what young people are thinking. And if you can start doing that, I think you've got a way better chance of engaging with young people.
There is also a risk of brands or organisations almost like using young people. So it's important to genuinely listen, but also to respect that perspective and to ensure that either you're paying them for the time or you're giving something back to them. And Prospect 100 is all about helping to identify that young talent across all these different areas you mentioned and sort of matching them to organisations. So how are you doing that to kind of help develop their talent?
I want everyone that enters our competition to receive a prize of some sort. We had applicants for music who were like 13 years old from developing countries who were submitting songs via like 30-second clips on YouTube, which had really kind of shaky visuals to it. You know, it was kind of being recorded on, I would say, an older phone. But then all the way to the other end of the spectrum, where you have a 21, 22-year-old who is studying at Berklee College of Music in Boston, considered to be the best music school in the world alongside Tisch in New York. And they have like 10 listed producers on their songs and they're submitting a music video that had a budget with it and they have been talking to Sony Record. You know, you've got such a difference in, not ambition, the ambition is very similar between both of them, but it's a difference in stage, I guess, you know, where you're currently at with your own journey and your own progression. And so it's as important for me to offer that 13-year-old applicant who submitted the song the opportunity to upload their own music onto Spotify for the first time, or so you get rewarded for trying and for believing in yourself to have a go. So I think that for one way is really helping young people take their passion to the next level. So being able to connect young people is really helping them take their passions to the next level, because again, I really, really love this analogy or like example. When my parents were younger, if they wanted to start a band, you needed to have, first of all, money to have private tuition. You couldn't just go on YouTube and teach yourself for free. But you needed to have other people in your area who were as passionate as you were about music. They wanted to start a band. who had complementing skill sets, so you don't want to have four drummers in the same band, and people who are all of a similar ability. So when you look at bands like the Rolling Stones, we talk about Keith Richards and Mick Jagger building sandcastles together when they were like 3 or 4 years old. It's almost a miracle that those people ever came together. Whereas now we're living in a world where, you know, you don't need to be in the same room anymore. So I really think that one of the biggest things we're also doing is creating that community. We're bringing young people together so they can connect with one another. And let's not forget, we're growing up in such a unique generation where a young person, when they're making music, they're not just like before. If you wanted to make music and make money from it, you'd go busking on a street corner with a hat on the floor. And if you wanted to take your music seriously, you were just a musician. You needed people behind the scenes to be your marketing manager. You needed people that really dictated your own narrative. Whereas now, so many artists are independent and are making the mainstream. Mood was the biggest song of this summer by 24K Golden. That song was uploaded independently via one of the platforms that we actually partnered with for our music competition. And, you know, for young people to look at that, that's incredible. But it shows that young people are thinking about music differently now as well. I'm not just a singer. I'm a singer. I'm probably the producer. I'm a heavy part of the marketing team with my social media. So I definitely think that we're also helping young people to develop some of those skills. Particularly, we have a public vote, which really demonstrates the importance of being able to promote yourself. And I think that's more important than arguably ever before. And then obviously, we get to the top end of the prizes, which is things like mentorship from, as I mentioned, people like Guy Holmes, who managed Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, to Danny Zook, who's the manager of Migos, to Preye Crooks, who runs Strawberries and Cream, quite a big festival in the UK, but it's also a talent manager for Columbia Records. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, no matter where you are on that spectrum for us, whether you are someone that's entering Prospect 100 for the first time and are, you know, at the beginning of your musical journey or whatever competition you apply for, or you're all the way through to, I know this is exactly what I want to do and I want to find a life-changing opportunity to help me get my foot in the door at a major company or be able to put myself out there to the right people, to the mass audience, whatever it might be, no matter what position you're in, we kind of cover that whole spectrum of opportunities.
It almost sounds like you're almost like reverse engineering like some of the traditional recruitment. And I suppose from a diversity perspective, it gives a broader range of people more opportunities to take charge of, I guess, their destiny, but their kind of interests and passions, right? That's kind of, I guess, the premise of this. You're not waiting for a big recruiter to one day find you.
100%. And I think, you know, there are so many examples that I could give of young people that we've come across or engage with who have proven, you know, exactly what you're just saying, where it's not, there isn't a traditional path. Whenever you think about art, you know, art's one of those subjects at school which rarely students are promoted to pursue. There's a young artist that we've spent quite a lot of time with and get a lot of guidance from called Harry Hambley, based over in Cardiff. He would sit in class doodling away and often find himself not wanting to go to school and continue with his drawing. And he started putting these drawings out onto Instagram. And before you know it, he's built an audience of like 20,000 people for this cartoon series he's effectively built out by drawing these pink beans on a page. And then Instagram approached him because they discovered his account on Instagram. They created a sticker with him and he now sits at over 2.1 million followers and is doing deals with, I don't think I can name, but he's done already work with companies like Samsung. He's collaborated with even Apple and they rarely do any collaborations at all. And so you look at someone like that, if you said to your teacher at school or your career advice officer at school, I want to go into the arts, how do I do it? They would never say in a million years, go and create an Instagram. And you know, it's not obviously the solution that every young person should take. It's just another example of how actually the traditional paths are not necessarily even like the main paths to use anymore. This isn't something that your career advice officer is telling you about. Whenever I was at school, we'd maybe be told to have a LinkedIn and to, you know, use a professional photo. No one told me actually it's really important to present yourself on Instagram in a cool way. And let's also try and get your following up, because if you want to go into journalism, that can be a really key thing for you to get a job. You know, no one thought about that. And so I don't think it's even just the pathways into jobs that people aren't thinking about challenging when they're giving advice to young people. But it's also, you know, what are the key skills and traits and attributes you should be developing? Whenever we're giving advice to young people on how to propel yourself into, you know, the career you want to go into, and whether that be you want to go into a freelance or you want to go and work for a company, we need to not only be giving sound advice, and of course, let's not neglect the traditional advice because a lot of it still stands. Let's be giving that traditional advice, but let's also think about what is it young people have today that we didn't have before that they can harness to put themselves ahead of other people. Like, by entering a Prospect 100 competition and you won and you pitched your idea to Steve Wozniak and you've been mentored by him for technology, does that help you stand out on your CV for a job in tech? Quite probably.
Is there one brand that you think has done like a really amazing job at engaging youth audience?
But I think for me, the classic standout has to be Supreme. Going back to the idea of a subculture, the subcultures that have grown up around Supreme have turned into almost mainstream cultures. I remember in 2015, roughly, maybe just before, there was an organization that started called The Basement. And anyone that's into fashion will know exactly what I'm talking about. And this was set up by a group, I think led by Taylor Prince Fraser, just young guys, mainly from London, who loved fashion and wanted to talk about the drops with Supreme and other similar brands. You know, there's so many people who are now coming to age and coming into the limelight who are like, oh yeah, I was on The Basement originally. I know we're working with a number of companies right now who are dominating spaces like the YouTube space particularly, and they all met each other through The Basement. You know, The Basement was such a big thing.
Are there any podcasts or books that you would recommend?
I way prefer YouTube. I know like YouTube videos could be considered podcasts to an extent, but I love the visual aspect. One of the things I've really found useful, and I think classic cliche name, but Steve Jobs, in my mind, was just so ahead of the curve here, because what he is saying and doing is so, it resonates so much with young people of today. Like, he talks so much about how, like, one story where he hired a guy called Hiroki Asai, who was like a 19-year-old guy that he found at a Cupertino skate park. And he said, we need people like this in our marketing team. And he got brought into Apple. He created something. And before you know it, he becomes Steve Jobs' like right-hand man. Embraces this fact that you don't need to hire kids that have a university degree. So I would really say there are so many amazing videos to do with Steve Jobs, like The Lost Interview in 1995, which is about an hour long, which is fantastic. There is a book by a guy called Reid Hoffman called Blitz Scaling. Now, I've never read the book, but he's done a number of different YouTube videos talking about the book, which are phenomenal. So I'd recommend probably the book, but definitely the YouTube video, Reid Hoffman, Blitz Scaling. And I would also finally recommend Simon Sinek, The Golden Circles TEDx. That, for me, is one of the best, if not the best, TED video. And again, I just think that when we talk about marketing to young people, I really believe that actually the properties haven't changed that much. It's just, we're so number-driven now. When you watch the Simon Sinek video, it's almost like everyone's driven by the what. Everyone is driven by that. We are 42% cheaper than this, and we're 82% better than that, whatever it might be. And no one goes back to this whole, people, you know, do act based on emotion and based on, you know, what it is you're doing. I guess it's kind of cliche, probably, if you work in the marketing sphere, and it's all the classic jargon. But I think the Simon Sinek video is really powerful. I really believe it resonates a lot with brands who are wanting to win young people today. At least it's definitely inspired what we've been doing with Prospect 100 a lot.
Oh, thanks so much for your time, sir. That's been brilliant.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So that's it for episode 14. Really hope you enjoyed that. Loads of great examples from Howie there. Next up, we're chatting to Jay Richards from Imagine Insights, and they work on getting young people, you know, directly connected with brands to provide honest feedback. So it's definitely one to check out.